That song goes out to Greg Procaccino, who happens to also be here in the studio with us.
Are we shifting gears now?
We're shifting gears now. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob still.
And together,
we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
The phone number here is 749-1444. That's 749-1444. We're going to be giving away a pizza in a minute.
Ooh, oh, that'll be good.
That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to announce the winner of our coloring contest. Also, we have in the studio a real live thespian, don't we?
Hey, I like women.
All right. So you're an actor. You're a local Cincinnati actor, right?
Well, I was born and raised here, and I'm working here now, but I have worked, my friend, all over this fine country.
Broadway?
Out in front of some theaters, yeah. I did off-Broadway, yeah. I worked the street once on 42nd. Yeah, it was... No, I'm kidding.
Any guest shots on like Starsky and Hutch or anything we know you from?
No. I was too young. I was just a kid. Starsky and what? No, man, I was just a wee babe. I did some guest starring. Besides the one everybody talks about, Murphy Brown.
You were on Murphy Brown?
I was on Murphy Brown.
Who are you?
I was a guy named Patrick O'Shea.
Could you do a little Patrick O'Shea for us?
Well, I'm doing it right now. You see, the fine art of acting was just to be yourself. I played a cartoonist.
Really?
Who drew nasty cartoons about Murphy Brown and her FYI news team.
I saw that one. That was you.
And she poured ink all over my head at the end of the episode.
That was great.
Did you
kiss her?
Well, no, but we shook hands a lot. Wink, wink.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, just to find out how good an actor you really are.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to cue up a little classical type music here.
Okay.
And I want to hear you do a little bit of
Mr. Burton.
No, I want to hear you do Petruchio from Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, that's real good. I don't remember my lines. Oh, do you have it written down?
Yeah, no, I don't have them written down. You got to know them. Here we go.
You have to know them?
Improvise. Yeah. Improvise Shakespeare.
Here we go. My gentle Puck, come hither. Thou rememberest, since once I sat upon a promontory and heard a mermaid on a dolphin's back uttering such dulcet and harmonious breath that the rude sea grew civil at her song. And certain stars shot madly from their spheres to hear the sea maid's music. That very time I saw, but thou couldst not, flying between the cold moon and earth, Cupid, full-armed. A certain aim he took at a fair vestal throned by the west, and loosed his love shaft smartly from his bow as if to pierce 100,000 hearts. Yet I might see young Cupid's fiery shaft. Now, I'll do it like John Wayne, quenched in the chaste beams of the watery moon.
Hello, Bob. You're on the air with Chris and Rob.
That was Oberon from Midsummer Night's Dream, but what the heck?
I thought Puck was in it.
Yeah, that's all I know.
I did a good midget, though, didn't I?
Oh,
I was a good midget,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's acting for me.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Have your listeners seen you guys in here?
We aren't
the most diminutive of people, are we?
No,
I guess not.
Hey, what was that about Love Shaft?
Welcome to the show, Bob. What can we do for you tonight?
Hey, I got an idea for that space guy, that guy who floats around up there in the stars.
Yeah?
Well, anyway, I got an idea for a colony type thing, right?
Okay.
You go out to some planet, right? Some planet we can get to. You set up a little colony, you know?
Uh-huh.
Some houses, a couple of bubbles that have atmosphere stuff in them, right?
Hey, you got to get some air up there somehow.
Yeah, we'll pump it up. We'll get it up there. Anyway, I've been working on this this genetic thing, right? Men mating with men, right? Pregnant men.
Kind of like Jurassic Park.
Sorta. But you see, the guy has a baby, right? Well, actually, the thing is, it's not a baby.
So it's like Jurassic Park meets Rabbit Test.
Rabbit Test? Jesus Christ!
No, I want to hear more about this. How are these two guys going to mate and create offspring, Bob?
I take care of that, putt actor boy.
Oh, you do?
Come on.
Take care of that yourself?
I figured it out genetically, baby. I used to be a scientist.
I used to be? What happened?
Oh, I move all around the country. Gotta keep moving. Everybody's after me.
Well, you know, a pedophile's life is not easy, I'm told.
Ain't that the truth?
Oh, man.
You can say that again.
Oh, man.
Anyway, they don't have kids, right?
Right.
They have full-grown men right out the bunghole, right?
Uh-huh.
Kind of painful, but hey, what the hell?
You know, anything for science, right, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for your call, Bob, and I'm sure we're going to pass that along to NASA.
Tell them it's called Project Stud.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Got a line open at 749-1444.
Is Bob indicative of the people who call in here?
Well, no.
Yeah. No?
Bob's atypical.
Oh, okay.
Is he?
Are you one of those method actors where if you have to play a convict, you would go to jail for, like, you would commit a crime and go to jail?
Well,
you're like Dustin Hoffman.
No one's proven it yet. Well, yeah, you know, there are all kinds of processes. Sure, you might. In fact, I did a play in Washington, D.C., where I had to play a cop in San Francisco in 1978 who had to deal with the world of the gay life in Frisco, and I had a buddy who took me to all the gay bars and to a glory hole, which I won't get into on here. You know what that is? I will not get into that on the radio, but...
Troy's got one.
I don't, well, that's a real lifestyle choice, Troy, buddy. But yeah, there are times when I did do research like that, you know, where I went through the life of, and I did a ride along with some DC cops. So yeah.
When you're on the set of a play or a movie or mm-hmm. a Murphy Brown, are you right. in character, like Sean Penn? The moment you get on the set, are you Puck the whole time you're there?
What? Yeah, you can be. It depends on the kind of role you're playing. If it's a character role or something, yeah, you might be. Yeah.
So if you're doing Streetcar, you're Stanley the minute you get to the set.
It helps. Yeah, I don't know what Brando did back in 1950. He was quite the method actor, but yeah, it helps because it's tough to keep that concentration going. So if you, you know, stick with it as long as possible, it makes the job easier in front of the camera.
Greg, yeah. Since we're talking about the male arts here, tell us
the male arts. Are they here?
What's
Artie?
Like? What's your experience been working with world famous playwright Edward Albee?
Well, now I did one show with Eddie, as I said, Big Ed, as I called him. Mm-hmm. No, actually, we all called him Mr. Albee the entire time we worked with him.
Really?
Oh yes, I don't think that changed. In Everything in the Garden, it was two seasons ago at the theater I work in town here, and it was a very pleasurable experience. The one thing I remember most about it is. The man knew exactly what he wanted to see on stage, whether you agreed with it or not.
Well, I've heard that.
Yes, and so yeah, it was. I had a fine time.
Hello, Jonathan. You're on the air. Speak up, Jonathan.
Yes. Good evening.
Hi.
Yes, I don't know. I'm calling. I was always kind of interested in the testing they do for these astronauts on NASA. You know. They always test them genetically, how they're going to react in, like, the small areas that they're going to be confined while they're orbiting our Earth. You know, the tightness of, you know, the quarters subjected. And psychologically, I was wondering if you knew anything, how they test these people to put them together more with religious point of views.
They use electrodes. They attach electrodes to your forehead, like one above each ear and then one in the front, and they like jolt you up with a lot of electricity.
Oh, really? And how do you think this would equal any of us out, these electrodes?
Well, they mingle with your covalent bonds, and then during the deflux process, everything gets covalently reversed, and therefore they know within about a 2 percentile rate whether or not you can be a good astronaut.
Yeah, what's the matter with you, Jonathan? Didn't you know that?
No, man, I ain't hit the...
You believe in the dualist theory.
Okay, but, more to the realistic. I mean, come on, guys. I think I know what we're both talking about.
I'm glad one of us did.
Like, maybe IQs, IQ levels, you know.
You gotta be smart.
Yeah.
You gotta have gone to school. If you've gone to school, that's a step in the right direction.
Well, do you think it would have anything to do with, like, maybe if you had your typical white male in space with another typical white male and being able to carry on this mission? Well, what if they didn't test out to be quite the white male?
What if they were an atypical gay black male? Would you think that would be a problem or something?
Exactly. If you think
about it. You sound kind of elitist to me.
Do you think that would work for a typical white male?
No.
No? Then why isn't it produced that way? I mean, we got to get these ratings on to get the support.
Hey, excuse me a minute, Jonathan. Hey, Rob, are you following any of this?
No.
Me neither.
First,
well,
I don't think...
I just want to know where it follows up with the race.
I don't think that there are any typical people in the astronauts.
There's
corps.
No typical people in the whole world.
These are all exceptional people that are astronauts.
I'm sorry. I rode the big school bus. I'm not exceptional. So,
Did you go to school
let's
wearing
think
a hockey
about
helmet?
This race wise, come on, that's what I'm saying. Me, Jonathan carried out a ride on the big school bus, and I'm sure that you did. If you're a typical, I mean, come on, we're white males. We got to carry this on. Do you think it would be any successional, like any demeaning more to the space program and learning if we with a black male up there?
Well, the last black male on a space shuttle flight got blown up, so there hasn't been any since him.
Well, what do you think about the Jews? What do you think about the Jews? I mean...
What an idiot. Please don't call us up anymore. Okay, 749-1444. Let's move on.
There are four black astronauts, two are pilots and two are mission specialists, and one is a female medical doctor.
Yeah, so there.
Wait. Back to acting. Do you prefer, Greg, the actor?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was...
Do you prefer a director who knows exactly what he wants, who says, Greg, you say your line like this, say, where art thou, Romeo? Or do you just want someone to, like, kind of just say...
Do that again.
Where art thou, Romeo?
You know, what dogs this, are these?
You know, this radio stuff does not fulfill your talent, man. There's a career out there for you. There's got to be... It may be in correspondence school. Well, no, of course... You know, acting by
later.
Good night, Troy. Troy just left.
Good night, Troy.
Troy, ladies and gentlemen, Troy has left.
Hey, Greg, will you lay a little "What dogs are these" on us?
Let him answer the question, and then.
I don't know what dogs are. No, it's of course like anything else. You guys don't want somebody hanging over your shoulder telling you what to do and exactly how to do it. The creative process is indeed just that, creative. So you and it's cooperative. So you want a director that says, "Try this," and bring me something too. So that's what you want, you know, or else it gets real dull fast. You know, kind of like talk radio.
What about like in The Goodbye Girl when Richard Dreyfuss had to play, who'd he play, and then the director, George Jefferson's neighbor had him do all this.
Paul Benedict.
Yeah,
Paul. Nice guy, by the way, nice guy.
You met Paul Benedict.
I met Paul Benedict.
You met the white guy on the Jeffersons.
Yeah, here we go with that. Yes, the white guy, white guy, black guy thing. And he wasn't Jewish at all. Yes, he was a nice guy.
He's British,
yeah. Well, you know how the British are.
All right.
There we go.
Any experience like that where the director wants you to do something totally off the wall, and you know in your artistic soul that it's wrong?
Well, yes, and you try it. You try it. You have to try it. And maybe he sees it stinks the place up, too. But nothing to the degree that guy went through in Goodbye Girl. You know, having nothing to that degree. No. But there are people out there like that. I know. I probably would have killed him.
What role would you love to play? When your agent calls you tomorrow...
Yeah.
What role... When he says, Greg, you're coming to Broadway, it's you, Bernadette Peters, and you're in.
And
what
I'm
would,
in,
what
oh
would you
God.
Want to do? Who would you want to be?
If I grow up. You know, I'm one of the few actors I know. I like doing Neil Simon. A lot of people don't, but I don't think he's such a bad playwright. I think he's fun to do. So maybe, I don't know. You know, people are always saying, I want to do the classics and work on the real heavy-duty serious stuff. And you know, I don't mind doing Neil Simon. It's fun. So maybe Neil Simon. I don't know. With Bernadette Peters, I'll do The Goodbye Girl. What the hell? Boy, that's dumb. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I've been very fortunate. I've played a lot of roles I wanted to play, so I've been lucky that way.
What's been your favorite so far, or just some of your favorites?
Some of my favorites. Well, the one I just closed at the ensemble, The Illusion, was a lot of fun.
How was that?
It was a blast.
What was it about?
Oh, that's a toughie to explain. It was all about my character and how people
who was
related
your character?
To me. I played a guy named Matamore who was this lunatic fop.
Really?
Was how he was described.
What was your favorite line in the whole piece?
In the whole play? My lines?
Yeah, would you like a little music to go with
it? I was yelling at another actress on stage called Christine Whitley, and I had this series of lines calling her names.
Like
and
what?
I called her an effrontuous pimple, presumptuous homuncula, foul dustball, and perfidious chamber pot. One after the other. And it was quite, and she just stood there, and several nights I spat on her when I did it. I said, effrontuous pimple. I was like, pling. And her left eye would go like, doink. I said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm spitting on you, Christine.
Okay, we're going to take a short little break here. 749-1444 is the phone number, and when we come back, we're going to give away that authentic no anchovies pizza.
Ooh.
So stay tuned. Hi everyone, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together
we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
The phone number is 749-1444 and we're taking your calls and we have a guest in the studio. In case you just tuned in or if you weren't paying attention, his name is Greg Procaccino. In one sentence, tell us a little bit about yourself, Greg.
Oh boy.
Okay, that's good.
Thank you.
We're going to be giving away a pizza here from No Anchovies. Let me explain this to you.
Somebody call and help me.
No Anchovies is this great little pizza place down there, Ludlow Clifton Ways.
I can vouch for that. I had a slice of pie there tonight. It's excellent.
What'd you get on it?
I wanted to keep it simple so I could evaluate them properly. I just got a nice, plain old, ordinary pepperoni and put a little oregano and crushed red pepper on it, and it was delicious. Great crust, man. Great crust.
Yeah, I placed those girls on.
Yes, I read about them in the paper. They're
Did
doing
you?
Great.
Yeah, they're cute, too.
Young entrepreneurs.
Uh-huh.
Which is French. Yeah.
Right. So anyways, we're giving away one pizza from No Anchovies, and we had a contest we've been announcing for the last 3 weeks. It's a coloring contest. We have two runners-up who don't win nothing, but they're going to hear their name on the radio, and that's cool. And then we're going to give a pizza to the grand winner. The first runner-up...
Diana from Thriftway.
And the second runner-up...
Scott and or Kevin.
It's like the Grammys.
Setting up the big fanfare for the grand prize.
Did you see the Grammys tonight?
Me? No, I was asleep, man, because I went to sleep about 8, woke, and just tossed it.
Those things are ridiculous anyway.
Well, I was hoping, well, Scott and Kevin. Oh, there you go.
Okay, but the pizza, and you can get anything you want on it, this pizza from No Anchovies that we're giving away to the greatest coloring contest comes from a nice young lady who didn't just color the postcard, but she went one step further, didn't she?
She made a whole poster out of it.
Yeah, with watercolors and Bazooka Joe comics and everything.
Where's that at?
Old postcards. We left it at the...
Oh, okay. I'll see that.
But it's going to be hanging up at No Anchovies starting tomorrow afternoon. And the winner is...
Jennifer.
Jennifer! So, Jennifer, call us up at 749-1444. We'll tell you how to go about getting your free pizza, or we'll send you something in the mail that tells you how to go about it. So there you go.
Terrific.
Okay. Back to the show. 749-1444 is the phone number. And by the way, if you didn't win, that's no reason why you shouldn't go down to No Anchovies and buy yourself a piping hot slice of pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. After seeing the movie.
It's cheap, too.
Yeah.
What's that?
Did that just come on?
Go outside.
Look through the peephole first.
Oh. I'm curious if anybody watched the Grammys out there, they could call in and tell me how Frank Sinatra's acceptance speech went.
I heard he cried.
He cried? Frank cried? My Frank cried?
He got a standing O and cried.
No kidding.
Like a baby.
Wow. Because I was curious if he like flubbed it or anything. Because, you know, he sings in concert now and forgets the line for the words.
They have a teleprompter and the words are a
But he's still, I know, okay, thank gosh. Because
Scott and Kevin saw Frank when he came to Cincy.
Those lucky guys.
Oh, it's Scott and Kevin.
It's the travesty.
Did you guys bring White Castles?
Hey, this guy, what about Frank? How was Frank in concert?
He was old, but he was good. He was still great.
Well, old is good. My dad's old, and he's good. But we got a call.
We got a call. If Jim would sit down and answer it.
Jim.
Oh, fuck.
Jim broke the phone again.
Yet again. Did you watch the Grammys tonight?
No, I didn't
work. Wait.
Good call.
UDF. Yeah.
Okay.
So what are your goals as an actor? What do you hope to accomplish? Do you have to have a day job?
No, I don't. I'm real fortunate. I'm freaky that way. I've been able to sustain a living just acting for the last 10 years. I lived in Washington, D.C. for 9 years.
Well, what were the starving artist years in Washington, D.C. like?
They sucked.
Did they?
Oh, this is a miserable business. I don't want to give anybody an idea.
Tell us a little bit about the bologna sandwiches you were eating.
Well,
if you could afford bologna.
Well, that's true. You know what? When I was married, my ex-wife and I, we used to... Beer was cheaper than soda and orange juice up in D.C. where we lived in Arlington, Virginia.
Right.
So we'd get a six-pack of Peel's Light for $1.38. This is a while ago. You know, back before, during the Reagan.
The great wheat shortage.
The great wheat shortage. It was cheaper to drink beer than anything else. And, you know, and we didn't go out. You didn't do anything.
So you got loaded a lot, huh?
Oh, yeah. Which gets you through those lean years. But I don't drink anymore.
Hello, Jim. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing great. How you doing tonight, Jim?
Oh, pretty good.
What can we do for you?
Well, I got a couple things. The Grammys and the Oscars. First of all, I saw that speech by Sinatra. Did you?
No.
We're looking for an update.
Right. We were all asleep because we do this late night talk show.
Well, it was cut off short. And I'll tell you, what really was kind of neat was Bono's introduction to Frank Sinatra. He read a speech, and that was really good. He just, evidently he likes Sinatra a lot and respects him and all that. I guess he grew up in England, you know, respects him and all that, so.
Did Bono Ireland. Mention the oppressive boot of the British on the Irish? He usually does that a lot.
He didn't quite mention that. He mentioned World War II and something, but he the way he described, I don't know, the way Frank Sinatra was viewed by Europe, you know, back in the 50s, whatever.
Interesting.
You know, he was like the voice of America and that kind of thing.
Have you heard their duet together, Bono and Sinatra?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like it?
No, I'm not that crazy about it.
No, well, no, it sounds pretty horrible, to be honest. But,
I wanted to ask the actor guy. So.
Oh, actor guy, okay.
Greg.
His name is Greg. You can call him Greg.
Greg?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my brother and I, he's in the movie business out in Hollywood. He lives out in Hollywood. And he gets Asian actors jobs. Anyway,
you're Jim Scorsese, aren't you?
Yeah, no, not exactly. But anyway, every year we have a big bet with the Oscars, you know?
Uh-huh.
We predict the nominees and winners and all that.
Sure.
Anyway, so just want to talk to you a little bit about that. What do you think about this girl that was in the piano, this little girl?
Little girl?
Yeah, my brother, he keeps on saying how terrible she was, that she can't emote and all that.
Uh-huh.
You know what emote means?
Do I know what a moat means?
Yeah.
You know, there's a joke that you walk around a moat of the castle, but no, I generally it just means how you. A lot of people identify emoting as bringing forth your feelings in a performing manner. That's all it is. And I have not seen the piano though.
Okay.
So I don't know if she's gonna win or not. I don't think she's gonna win though. Your brother's probably told you. You can almost guess who's going to win. Months ahead of time after the nominations are made. You know Tom Hanks is going to win. It's now March 2nd. Call me back at the end of the month here. And if I'm wrong, you know, you can kick me.
I already picked and all that. But I was just wondering, did you see Tom Hanks in Philadelphia?
I did not. You don't have to. You know who's going to win just by the buzz.
Yeah, sure. But we usually pick this like in January.
Right. Easy. Well, what are your picks? Who'd you pick?
Well, okay. It ended up that, okay, we picked the nominations for, this may sound kind of boring to everybody. But anyway, we picked the nominations for the four big four categories.
Uh-huh.
It is Best Picture, Best Director, Actress, and Actor. Okay.
We close?
Yeah, actually we tied with 16 each, okay, out of 20.
Whoa! Know?
That's good.
And then the only difference we have as far as the winners, you get 1 point for a nomination, correct nomination, and 3 points for the correct winner.
Mm-hmm.
And the only difference we have is that he's got... let me see. I got Emma Thompson for Best Actress, and he's got Holly Hunter.
I think he's right.
Yeah, I hear that.
He's right. That's the buzz.
Yeah. Well, so I guess. Have you seen many movies last year?
Did I see many movies last year? Yeah, and I go to a lot of movies. I used to review them in D.C.
Who do you think did a great job last year?
Anthony Hopkins. Hopkins is really, really good.
Remains of the Day.
Yeah, Remains of the Day and Shadowlands. He's just. He can't be beat.
You
and
know,
Daniel Day-Lewis is real good, too.
I'd love to see Deborah Winger make a comeback.
Yeah, and out in Hollywood, it's tough, because when I was out there, they branded me as the street kid, the fast-talking Italian guy, and when you step out of the business, they brand you as somebody who's offbeat, who's difficult, she's lost it, and it's good to see somebody like that come back. Apparently on her own terms, too, because you're always at the mercy of somebody else out there, so it's nice to see her do that.
I think she had two movies last year that she was very good in.
Yeah, I don't know the name of the other one where she wore the glasses and something about a, I don't know what it was, a murder or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, now, who's your brother out there? The only guy I know from Cincinnati who produces out there is Brad Weiger.
A Dangerous Woman.
A Dangerous Woman.
No, you ever hear of Bessie, I think it's called Bessie Lou, Agency or something like that.
Bessie Liu.
Huh?
Out in L.A. Nope.
Okay, it's, he gets Asian actors jobs.
Oh, okay, which is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, no. But, like, every Asian actor you ever see in a movie or on TV, my brother knows.
That's terrific.
Yeah, so,
Even, George even Bruce Lee?
Yeah, I'm Bruce Lee. No, that was
Bruce Lee's
time.
Dead, man.
But,
really?
Big in that.
Bummer.
What about Brandon Lee?
He's dead too. Did you stop with the
What
dead?
About that guy that was Arnold in Happy Days?
Pat Morita.
Pat Morita.
That guy once told me, I talked to him on the phone, he once told me that my brother was like a son to him.
Wow.
Which is more than what my father.
Well, will you do us a favor then, Jim?
Well, that's terrific. These guys. Are you of the Asian persuasion?
No. We're Polish and Irish.
That's a combination.
Okay, Jim, do me this favor then. Have your brother Jim ask Pat Morita to give us a call on next week's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Well, I'll do what I can.
Okay.
Oh, Chris and Rob?
Yeah.
I'm the guy who drew that Veg-Man cartoon thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, hey.
I want that new one. I was over at a friend's house, and he had that new one. I don't remember the name of it. It's got an Oriental name or something.
Okay.
You know which one I'm talking about?
No, not at all.
It's like your brand new one.
A brand new
Veg-Man No, it's not Veg-Man. It's something else.
Oh, Tai Chi thing?
Yeah, that Tai Chi thing.
You want that?
Yeah, will you send us one of them?
I can't believe you'd be into that.
I can't believe a lot of things myself.
Okay.
Okay, but you're a great artist. Keep up the good work.
All right, take it easy.
Okay,
guys. Nice talking to you, guy.
That guy's a real good cartoonist. You've
Is
seen
he?
Him. He draws all the ads for Ulysses. He draws those.
Oh, okay. A place I haven't frequented, but I want to because...
Well, Sting ate there once.
The Sting?
Yeah, and Ben Franklin ate there once, too.
The Stingmeister?
It's
Ben Franklin?
Yeah, it says Ben Franklin ate there.
No kidding.
Yeah, Thomas Edison. Uh-huh. Al McPherson, all them people. Hello, is this Jennifer?
Yeah.
Jennifer, the big
winner?
Jennifer,
the winner.
I can't believe it.
Well, congratulations for winning that free pizza from No Anchovies.
Another round of applause, guys.
All right. You're a babe and a half.
Sore losers in this studio.
So what are you going to get on it?
I don't know.
What do you think?
You get as many toppings as you want.
It's you and the fine folks at No Anchovies got to work that out, but something tells me they'll give you whatever you darn well please.
Okay.
Get one of everything.
Okay.
Cool.
They do have anchovies there.
Yeah, one of everything except anchovies.
Oh, man, no.
They do have anchovies there, though.
Yeah, but don't get those.
I won't.
Those suck. Just get one of everything else.
I will.
Cool.
Can I ask Jennifer a question?
Go ahead. You can ask Jennifer anything.
Jennifer, hi, this is Greg, the actor guy.
Hi, Greg.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Staying up past my bedtime, you know.
That was going to be my question. What are you doing up at this hour of the morning?
Keeping myself awake to see if I won.
WAIF, Cincinnati.
Keeping what? I didn't hear you. Keeping what awake?
Keeping myself awake to see if I won the contest.
Oh,
otherwise, I would be asleep right now.
Now, do you work in the city?
Yeah, I do.
Now, you have to tell me where. What kind of work do you do?
I do a telemarketing job.
Now, is that what you aspire to, or is there something else? Like maybe acting you'd like to go into?
I'm actually a writer.
I think someday she'll have to be an appointment setter.
Oh, shut up, Rob.
Just tell him to go to
hell. You might be a DJ, Rob.
Oh, well... If you come in here, you can see how little you really do. What kind of writing do you do?
Huh?
What kind of writing do you do?
I write short stories and poetry.
Oh, did you study at up at UC for that?
No, you don't study much at UC. I took a few classes there.
Oh.
I don't think much of UC.
I'm sorry.
No.
Are you from here originally?
Yeah, I grew up in Fairfield.
Okay, oh, that's cool. Well, good luck with your writing. And congratulations again on that pizza.
It's a large. Great.
Well, now, do you have
Make
somebody...
Some friends,
I was going to say, do you have somebody to share that pizza with?
I do have some roommates.
Some roomies?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a party
Not
to me, man.
Not necessarily friends, but roommates.
That sounds like a party to me, man.
Well, when you've only known them a week. I've only lived here a week.
You've only been in here a week?
Yeah.
This is like single white female, something like that?
No, I have two roommates, one male, one female.
Oh, three's company. Come and knock on our door. Yeah. Cool. Are they nice people?
Yeah, they're great.
Okay, what do they do?
Let's see.
Are they bums?
Sort of. No, they're not.
Oh, Republican congressmen, great.
No, they're great. Well, one's a legal secretary, and the other one, I don't know what the heck he does. Something.
Do they go to the theater?
I know the girl, she likes opera.
Sure. Well,
like the theater. Well,
that's
I like
cool.
The theater.
Well, I'm inviting you guys down. Make sure all three of you get together. I'm in the show from June to July called Lips Together, Teeth Apart down at Ensemble Theater.
Really?
Get together and go to No Anchovies and then come down and see the show.
I've been to the Ensemble Theater once.
What did you see there?
Actually, I didn't really see a play. I think it was the first year that they were open.
Were you using the bathrooms? Yeah. I mean, what did you do there?
No. I saw a band. Sleep Theater played there.
Oh. Well, no, I wasn't in that.
No, it's a band.
Oh, I know. Well, that's why
you weren't playing sax.
I wasn't playing sax. Look, but I could if I wanted to. Well, then, doggone, it's about time that you come down there again. So stop down there. What is it? May through
June.
Hey, Jennifer, I think you should
July.
Go down when they do Poor Superman because I heard there's boys kissing boys in it.
Ooh.
I'm not in that.
But you could see that any day in Clifton.
Can you really?
Probably. Oh, Superman on the street.
Oh, Superman. Well, that's going to be a very interesting show. We're looking forward to doing it. We're going to get a lot of press, and I hope it's all going to be good. But, yeah.
That's neat that you were on Murphy Brown. I didn't see it very much this year, so I didn't see that one.
Well, now, I was on the very first year. I went out. I did a television series on HBO called Tanner 88, which is a great series. And they saw me on that, and they called me out to Hollywood. Honest to God, you know, one of those come out here.
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh, indeed. And I did the first season. It's on in repeats now. In fact, I get a lot of calls from buddies all over the country who say, "Man, I'm sitting in a hotel in Pennsylvania. I see your ugly mug on TV." I say, "Hey, thanks for appreciating my work."
And you get like residuals from that.
I sure do. In fact, I just got one last week. But boy, the government. They got their hands in my pockets more than a pet. I'm just telling
tell
you.
Tell me something, Greg.
Yes, Chris.
How hard is it for an actor to get health insurance?
Real tough. You have to accrue certain numbers of weeks or earnings to get covered. And it's becoming more and more difficult because they keep raising the amount of money you have to earn in a certain period of time.
Whoa.
And that sort of thing. Yeah, it's very tough. And
it's a bitch, huh?
Yeah, it can be.
You better not break your toe.
No, I can't.
Did you meet Gary Trudeau?
Yes, he's a very nice, and I met Jane Pauley, too, because Gary wrote Tanner 88. Jane's a very nice woman. This is Gary's
nice guy. You
kissed
President Carter once, too, didn't you?
I did kiss President Carter. Well, please, let me explain that. Jennifer, let me explain that to you, darling. See, I was performing for President Carter at his last party he gave for his staff after he lost the election to Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with John Cullum doing Christmas Carol at Ford's Theater. John Cullum is the old guy on Northern Exposure.
You went to Ford's Theater? Anybody get shot?
No.
Good.
At least not on stage. I did a show, and they invited us to the White House to perform for the party there. Mm-hmm. And Carter was congratulating us all and shaking our hands, and a girl next to me kissed him on the cheek. And so I said, "Well, heck, if he can, so can I." So I just kissed Carter on the cheek, and there was Mondale, and they all went, "Oh,
whoa!"
So I kissed Carter, but that's a bit in a way a man can kiss another man and not be questioned.
Well,
okay,
like
I want
Arabs
that.
And things, you know, people like that, they kiss each other on cheeks all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, you're Italian, right? You're the streetwise Italian fast talker.
Yeah, right. Born and raised in Western Hills. That's real streetwise.
Ooh.
You know.
But before I go, I had and figure out about this pizza business.
Yeah,
I had one
say,
question about one comment, sort of about the astronaut.
Let's make it positive.
I think you asked a really succinct question, Rob. When you asked, did he ever feel like going to the, you know, not doing the mission and like going off somewhere else?
Yeah, that was probing.
That was a probing question, but that was a really good interview. And
thank you.
He gave a lot of facts.
That just goes to show you should always paddle past the no paddling past here sign.
That's true.
Thanks, Jennifer. Stay on the line.
I will.
We'll be right back.
Get past the people. Get past the hitman. Get on down. I want to get on the good foot. Where sober people know what it's about. Going down to the crib and let it all hang out. Where sober people know what it's about. Where people give them signs and shake their hands. And dancing to the music, they ain't found band. They're dancing on the good foot. I got to get on the good foot. I got to do it on the good foot. Long hair hippies and the Afro blacks, they all get together across the tracks and they party. Oh, on the good foot, you know they dance on the good foot. Dance on the good foot. Ain't nothing going on but the rent. A whole lot of bills and my money spent, and that's on my bad foot. Oh. You know my face is getting short and I got the blues. And I paid my dues on the good foot. Oh, on the good foot. I got to get on the good foot. Hey, on the good foot. Get on the good foot. Come on. Hit it there. You got to get it. Get it.
Yeah. Good evening, Cincinnati. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
The phone number is
749-1444.
Get them calls in here. And now we're going to do a special new feature. We're starting tonight on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
What is it?
It's called Karaoke with Greg.
And everybody else. And Scott.
You guys?
Kevin.
Scott and Kevin. And Rob and I are going
to
do
background
vocals. I'm
not singing alone, man.
Okay. Who's up next? Jim. Okay, Dragon is up next. Hey, Dragon.
Hey, yeah.
You want to get in on this karaoke thing?
No, thanks.
You can ooh.
You got to sing the oohs
just,
in the background.
Just ooh, Dragon.
Just ooh.
Ooh with us. All right, you ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
Where's the cue?
Oh, the song's already started. There wasn't even an intro. Coming around.
We're coming around to the top now.
Ooh, guys, now. Like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does. I can't hear the music. This one. Never before. What key is it in? Oh, good. Has someone been more? Ooh, guys.
Shooby dooby doo.
Unforgettable. In every way. Dragon, are you ooing, man?
Oh, Dragon.
And forevermore. Come on, guys, come to the end. That's how you'll stay.
That's why, darling, sing with me.
That's why, darling.
Darling.
It's incredible. That someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Yes! We're going to open in Vegas in 2 weeks, guys.
Okay, Dragon, what's on your mind tonight?
Yes, I have a...
By the way, that was a horrible backup job you did.
I have a question for the actor guy there. Mm-hmm.
The actor guy is Greg.
Yes. What are Spielberg's chances this year? Is he finally going to get one?
You betcha. You bet. You. It's a serious movie. It's a serious theme.
It's black and white.
Black and white, and it's like nothing he's ever done before, except maybe The Color Purple, which, if you remember, had 13 nominations, didn't win diddly. I think it's his year, and you can tell by the buzz it's going to be his year. If he doesn't win, it'll be Jane Campion for The Piano. And
Close Encounters of the Third Kind was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a wonderful film. Made a lot of money, but he didn't win. And it's I keep waiting for Scorsese to win one. You believe? I don't think he's won one yet.
No,
has
never.
He?
Oh, no, yeah.
That's insane. If you've seen Raging Bull or Goodfellas, he hasn't won. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, but yeah, you can take that to the bank, as they say. I think Spielberg's gonna win.
Okay, I will do that. And on the Grammys tonight, I don't think Bono will be back soon.
Why?
He pulled an Aerosmith tonight.
He said a dirty word?
He said a dirty word?
Yes, he did.
What did he
say?
The
big one.
F?
Yes,
the
big
one. Was Dick Clark pulling his hair out again?
He said the F word?
Yes, he did.
During his talk to Sinatra, about Sinatra?
No, because he won the Grammy for Best Alternative Album.
Mm-hmm.
He too did.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out making comments about, you know, being on college radio and everything. And his last comment was, just remember, we're going to be out there effing up the mainstream for a while.
Yeah, boy.
Those Irish.
So I don't think he'll be back for a while.
All right. Well, there you go. Go figure.
That's all I had.
Okay.
Thanks, Dragon.
Bye.
Stay out of jail, okay?
So you're going to be in Lips Together, Teeth Apart?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, and in the movie Milk Money with Melanie Griffith and Ed Harris.
Did you kiss her?
We shook. Again, a lot of handshaking goes on in Hollywood for if you're an underling like me. We spent 3 days together. What's 3 days? 2 days together. She hit me
two
with...
2 days, 3 nights.
Well, no. Don came on the set, and Don looks better than her.
Very unshaved.
No, looking Colorado Espen cool. Real tan, had a white turtleneck on, and hit the kids. And...
I hope you're through with your pop, because someone just dropped a smoke in it.
Let me see. Menthol. They shot the entire film here for about 3 months, and I got...
Is that the one they had to build the porno front for? The porno store front?
Probably, yes. Down on Vine Street, yeah. I had nothing to do with that. I played a guy who tries to rob these little kids. And my girlfriend plays a guy plays a woman who slaps one of the kids.
Say your girlfriend's good.
She's very good at acting. She's a very good actress.
Guy.
You got a girlfriend who acts too?
Yes. Her name is Annie. I hope not. I don't know. No, she's got an early morning.
Did you ever have to see her kiss another guy?
Yes, in this last show I just did.
Night after night after night after
night. After night after night after night after night.
Did you get jealous?
No, not really. You know, now she's doing a play with Anthony Munoz in the morning. She's doing that children's theater show.
Yeah.
She's playing Jack's mom. And I met Anthony today. Nice guy.
Is she going to kiss him?
No, because she plays Jack's mother, you know, and Anthony came up, was so neat because I'm a big football fan. And Anthony came up to me backstage, I was picking her up, and he goes, I've never met him. And he walked up and said, hey, I know you. And he said, my wife and I and family, we've come to see you in Christmas Carol at Playhouse in the Park, and we love your work, which was cool because, you know, I think he's a real class act and a good guy. And
who were you in Christmas Carol?
I was Jacob Marley, the ghost of Jacob Marley.
You had to change. You had to
sure did. I had chains and moaning on more than one occasion.
How did they get your head on the door knocker?
Tricks. It was theater magic. I don't like to divulge those secrets. It was theater magic.
But his lips together, teeth apart. Big controversy in Georgia. They put it on down there,
that's
and
right.
The county commissioners yanked the funding for it. Is this going to be a hotbed of controversy when it hits the Queen City?
Not at all. Lips together, teeth apart is a very easy, approachable show. Apparently, down in Georgia, Marietta, I think it was the city. I'm not quite sure. From what I understand, and if this is hearsay, please somebody call in and tell me I'm full of poop. The city council didn't even see the show. They heard it dealt with homosexuals. So they pulled the funding altogether. It's not the case. It's about two couples, a husband and wife, who get together for a 4th of July weekend up in Fire Island at somebody's property and just go through intermingling. Nothing happened. I mean, just, you know, themselves.
Any wife swapping?
None of that. No. But at one point, they deal with the fact that one of the wives' brothers died of AIDS. And that's as close as they get to talking about any homosexual theme. So it's very mild. There's nothing like that going on. It's being directed by a wonderful director, and the cast is terrific. And it shouldn't be controversial at all. It's just a simple little play. It has nothing, you know, it's not about that. It doesn't deal with any of that sort of thing.
How many actors do you think there are in Cincinnati that can make a living doing it?
Well, there are a number of us. I feel fortunate to consider myself in that group.
What the hell are you doing, dude? You're on. Put it in the queue. Okay, how many? There's quite a few.
Did you guys get your degree at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, man?
New Hampshire.
I see. Yeah, you know. You can't fill out those back of the match covers anymore for a job.
We couldn't draw Skippy.
Oh, well, then, darn the luck. Radio for you. You're asking, I'm sorry. Well,
okay. There are a few more than it, because I wouldn't think there'd be, you know.
No, there aren't a lot. It's not
I
like,
figured you.
Greg, if you're such
you
a good actor
Munoz,
and you acted for the president and you acted in all these big-time blockbuster movies and all these big-time Candace Bergen TV shows and HBO and everything, what are you doing in Cincinnati?
What am I doing here?
Are you afraid of the competition in the big leagues?
No, on the contrary. It's in fact, I still get calls from my agent in L.A. saying people still want you. But I thought that morals charge would be dropped by now. No. It's just that I got tired of, I don't know, I got tired of L.A. and I came back here and I joined the Ensemble Theater Company, and I'm doing what most people want to do, and that is, you know, work consistently. We'll work pretty steady.
And it's better than kissing on Candace Bergen and Meg Ryan and all that.
I never got to kiss them. Like I said, lots of handshaking. And I don't know, and I never met Meg Ryan. It was Melanie Griffith who hit me with a limousine door in the head. That's the scene. If you go see Milk Money, that's what happens. I try to rob these kids, and I take them down in the basement of the garage. And
you take their milk money, I guess.
Well, basically, yeah, these kids, the plot of the movie is these kids collect their money, their real milk money, and they want to go see a naked lady. And they walk up to my girlfriend, who's on the street, the actress, my girlfriend, actress, and say, hey, would you show us your breasts for $123? And she slaps him. And I see this, and I go over.
What kind of prude do you go out with?
No, that was the line in the movie.
I know. What kind of prude is this character woman?
No. I don't know her. The actress who played it is my girlfriend.
Right. What I'm saying is, what kind of prude did your character go out with?
No. I don't know. Take two. My girlfriend, who makes me the happiest man on earth,
right,
played the character in the movie.
Right.
My character's not related to her at all. In the film.
Is she tuned in tonight?
I don't think so, no.
We already covered that.
No, she's... But
then why are you rubbing her so much?
Well, because,
she
you
makes
know...
Me the happiest in the whole world.
Because somebody may tell her I was talking about her on the air, I hope. No.
Did you expose yourself for $123?
When me?
Yeah.
I exposed my tush on stage in a play I did in D.C.
What about Full Frontal?
Back, just the back.
Would you do O Calcutta?
No, no need. Why would I want to be famous for the only shortcoming in my life? I wouldn't. I do have friends who have done nudity on stage, you know. But I think I'm one of those quirky people. I really think if you're gonna drop trowel,
Italian man.
No, well, you know that's that's a myth. That's a myth, and a myth is I'm one of those people. If you're gonna drop trowel, man or woman, it better be worth looking at. Much like I know all the critics when Lily Tomlin did a movie with John Travolta called Moment to Moment.
Oh, it's great.
Where they had one of the worst movies ever made. Totally don't light a match near that thing, man.
The soundtrack was wonderful. The acting was impeccable.
Oh, yeah. But there's a scene where they're in the tub together, and I remember reading one of the reviews. It might have been here. I was still living here in town at the time. Forgot who it was, but one of the reviewers said, the last thing I want to see is Lily Tomlin naked in the tub. And that's no offense to Lily. Lily, if you're listening, God bless you.
She's brilliant.
But, oh, she's a brilliant actress, isn't it? And I should... Well, but the point is, you know, I wouldn't want to subject myself on an audience if I was nude, unless it was really something to look at. And I can tell you right now, it's not.
Have you seen Milk Money, the final cut?
No, no. They just called me 2 weeks ago to ask how they wanted to spell my name on the credits. And apparently, you know, I said, well, you know, D-E-N-I-R-O, but they wouldn't. So those bums, they wouldn't.
Did you get like a nickname like
Chip?
Greg? You know,
Greg Buzzman Procaccino, something
like
that. No, just Gregory Procaccino will be on there, and you'll see me. And
since you're such a good actor, are you any good at celebrity impersonations?
I have done a few in my day. I can do my teachers from grade school at St. Antoninus.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
One.
Sister Mary Therese, she used to say to me, "You act so retarded," because she was from Detroit. Yeah, that was Nun Central. All the nuns that taught us came out of Detroit.
They either put together cars or become a nun. That's all there is to do in Detroit.
Can you do Steve McQueen?
No, he was no. It's real tough. Well, yeah. He didn't talk a lot. He
was Cincinnati Steve McQueen kid. Music for you.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay. Sure. Yep. I'm leaving now. Pretty good, huh? Because if I'm not correct, that clip was from the Great Escape, right?
Right.
See, that's how I knew. I'm leaving now. Thank you.
Is it going to be, is Milk Money good? Is it worth $7.50?
Well, just to see me get hit in the head by a limousine door by Melanie Griffith, yeah.
Did you have to do any research, like go around and, you know, have them be, here, open, like start on like an escort.
Well, I'll tell you that.
To an Accord.
Well, you know.
Limo,
no.
Bam!
I did experience something. I played a guy, a homeless guy who robs these kids, or tries to. And I was unshaven and I was dressed down looking.
Kind of like now.
Kind of like now. You know, kind of like now. There's this kind of grunge motif here. And I was dressed down. I looked like a real lowlife, you know, a real a councilman. And I walked into the McAlpins where we were shooting behind McAlpins to look for a watch. And I forgot that I had on my costume and looked so grungy, and I walked in, like five people came up to me and just kept saying, "Can we help you, sir? Can we help you? Can we help you? You know, please, sir, can, you know, please get out of here." And I went, "Whoa, that's what these people face all the time." You know, because, and here I am saying, well, don't treat me like that. I'm really this, you know, I'm this semi-successful actor, you know, who makes some money and I can afford to buy this cheap watch. Leave me alone. But just because of the way I look, man, they were all over me saying, "Get out."
That's heavy, man.
Oh, dude, it is. 60 Minutes ought to call me up. The heck with story. Call me up and do a story on that. Anywho. Oh, there we go. Are you playing that now?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I sit around the house and I say to myself, how come we don't hear any music from the old Wild Angels movies?
What's your favorite Nancy Sinatra Peter Fonda movie?
The Wild Angels. How did you know? Oh, you didn't. You're going to make me cry, man. Okay. I'm not good at this.
Just say you gotta get one. You gotta see Wapner.
Well, is this The Graduate?
Yeah.
Mrs. Robinson. Gotta go now. See? Like Steve McQueen. I'm leaving. I'm leaving, Mrs. Robinson. Oh, Mrs. Robinson.
case you just tuned in, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And the phone number is
749-1444. Greg, you've performed for two different White Houses.
That's
the
right.
Carter White House and the Reagan White House.
Mm-hmm.
Compare and contrast, 500 words
oh,
or less.
Oh, man, it's an essay question. Carter had just lost, and he was a Southern, and still is a Southern Baptist. Well, he was. And
he's converted since then. He's now Hasidic. What do you mean?
Well, yeah, getting shot at in New York. That evening, all that was served was orange juice, beer, and wine.
Peanuts.
And not even that. We were kept downstairs in one of the waiting rooms before we came upstairs and performed. And it was very low-key, and we and much different from than the Reagan White House. The next year, they invited us to perform. And my gosh, the difference, the place was packed. They were serving all kinds of liquor, all kinds of food. There was dancing. I kept bumping into Ted Kennedy and Jack Kemp.
Everybody that's near Ted Kennedy bumps into him.
Or vice versa.
Ted will bump into them.
Yeah. The difference was like night and day. The whole atmosphere was just incredible. I mean, all the wealth, the spending, the opulence of the first Reagan Christmas, and I can only assume all the other Christmases thereafter, and the difference of Carter's, which was very simple and, you know, simple. Oh. Wow, what a difference, huh?
Big difference.
That wasn't quite 500 words. So
startling.
I'll write big. Yeah, but then living in D.C. was, you saw that all over the place. You saw the difference in the White Houses when Reagan came in. Because I lived in D.C. 9 years in Arlington, Virginia.
What years? What time span?
Oh, gosh. 80s, most of the 80s, mostly during the Reagan years.
You're a creative person. You've been around. Is the conservatism of Cincinnati stifle creativity?
I don't think so.
Roving question, Rob.
It is. There you go.
Another succinct one.
Yeah, too. No, I don't think so. You can create any. I don't know if there's any artists out there who are like Jennifer's a writer. If there's anybody out there who is an artist and finds that they can't create here because of the city, I'd like to hear it, because you can create anywhere. It's how it's accepted and embraced. I do know that having lived in other cities like Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, and this isn't good or bad, it's just an observation, all the things that people made fun of Cincinnati for, the conservative fiscal, religious, social nature, are the things that kept this city afloat during the urban blights of the 70s and 80s when other cities went under.
New York filed bankruptcy. Cincinnati didn't.
That's right. And if you want that sort of thing, if you want to live in a community that can sustain itself, those are some of the elements of, apparently, maybe not all the time, but apparently that keep a city afloat, keeping that kind of control over things. That's not good or bad, it's just the way it is.
How's the Cincinnati theater scene? Is it thriving? Is it dying? Is it just holding its head above water compared to other cities?
Well, that's a good question. Compared to other cities, we're doing better. Every nonprofit theater has a tough time maintaining their existence because of funding. Funding has been cut all over the country and for all theaters. It's certainly not as large as Washington, D.C., where I spent 9 years. There are theaters all over the place there and doing well. This population, I think, can just barely support the two we have here, Playhouse in the Park and Ensemble. But it's doing okay, and I think there are people out there, large numbers of people, who want to see it continue, and that's a good thing to know. You know, it's encouraging for us down at Ensemble, and I'm sure Playhouse, to know there are people out there who want us to survive.
What do you think? It's because, say, Washington D.C., the people have more expendable income, or do you think it's a cultural thing where people are more theater types?
Well, that's good. That's a good. I think it's both. I noticed Washington, D.C.
What did you just pull out of your head?
Nothing. An idea.
You scratched your head, and then you started pulling your finger.
No.
Out.
I was scratching this little bump on my head. Ah!
Why don't you eat it?
I lost it. It fell on the floor, man.
Okay.
Besides, I'm waiting for that pizza to come in from somebody. I'm hoping somebody brings us something to eat.
Hey, no anchovies. You still listening?
Yeah. White Castle. Hey, they're
hey,
open.
Hey, Scott, go to White Castle.
No.
He didn't win, remember? Okay. He's mad. Okay, so
Greg,
the difference in Washington, D.C. and Cincinnati. Hold on, what?
What?
No, okay, you asked him.
I already asked him. He was answering, and we started screaming at him. Sorry.
It's different. Well, somebody did a study of people in Washington, D.C. I think 92 to 95% of everybody who lives and works in that town have postgraduate degrees.
Yeesh!
Yes. Even if you're in service.
You can be a doctor of acting?
Well, no, Matt. Well, you can be a doctor of theater, but there are It's one of the most mastered area. I mean, everybody there has a master's, even in service. And everybody's from somewhere else. It's one of the most transient towns I've ever been in. I can count on my hand the people who I met in my 8 years there who were born and raised there.
Chance the gardener.
Chauncey, that's right.
He's from
Washington. Pat Buchanan.
Yes, Pat. Pat looks a lot like Sam Donaldson. You know, got his eyes. And I think with those areas come about, these are people who are very self-motivated and spontaneous and intelligent and educated. And part of that whole makeup of a person, hopefully, is that they go to the theater. And so you may think, well, so in Washington, D.C., more people frequent the theater. Plus, again, there's just more of them. There's four to five times as many people in D.C. as there are in Cincinnati. So the numbers help, too. You know.
Let's get back to that celebrity impersonation thing.
Oh,
can you do Charlton Heston?
Actually, I can.
Roddy McDowell.
Do Roddy McDowell? God, it's a planet of apes! You blew it up! God damn, you blew it all to hell!
Thanks. We'll be right back. 749-1444. 749-1444. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Take it to the post, Chris!
Well, we're taking it. Welcome back. What time is it? It's 20 minutes until 4 o'clock. You're listening to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And usually about 20 minutes to 4, we usually do a weather report. So here's Rob with tonight's weather.
Tonight's winning pick 3 number 764.
That's it.
No weather.
I think that's what they were.
Cold outside.
For Ohio.
So do the weather report.
We just got one. It's cold outside. Look for a daytime high of 42 degrees, partly sunny skies, an overnight low of about 29 degrees. And as you in southeastern Ohio near Athens, 3 to 4 inches of snow. So if you're traveling east, give yourself some extra time and be careful.
In case you just tuned in, our guest tonight is Greg Procaccino, who is a local actor. He's been in a bunch of plays, a bunch of movies, a bunch of TV shows, and he knows all kinds of famous people, don't you?
Yeah, I guess.
When you went Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
What was the pressure to change your name? Anyone says, nah, you're too ethnic, because you said they kind of typecast you as a fast-talking Italian guy.
That's right.
Did anybody say, did your agent say, Greg, change your name to Curtis?
No.
Greg Curtis?
Or Thompson or Smith?
Stoney Curtis.
There you go.
And Margrock. No, they didn't. Nobody does it anymore. Nobody changes their name.
Really?
Yeah, it went out. You know,
Don Johnson's name's not Don Johnson, is it?
Isn't it? I think it is.
I don't think so.
Well,
Bob Dylan's name isn't Bob Dylan.
Well, it's Robert Zimmerman, but that was till the 60s, man. And now actors don't do that. I mean, you have names like John Turturro, another fine Italian boy.
Crispin Glover,
Christian Slater, River Phoenix.
He's dead. Don't talk about dead guys.
Well, no.
We can't bring up dead guys, but you bring up dead guys.
I just meant that was his name. Nobody told him to change that
Johnny
name.
Johnny Depp's a real name.
Yeah, you believe that?
No.
Well, I think it is. That's his real name. I mean, how would you like to be named after a hair product? You know, I would like to meet Alberto VO5. What the hell is Alberto VO5? Who is that guy? He doesn't exist. I mean, nobody changed the name anymore.
Mariel Hemingway, like, that's real.
That is her name.
She grabbed some dead author's name.
It's her grandfather. I know.
Really?
That's what I heard. That's what she told me one night.
You met her?
No.
You shake her hand?
No.
You shook her hand?
No.
You kissed her, didn't you?
No, no.
What do you feel about all this competition with the Tonys and the Oscars? Or do you think that it's good and that people should be honored for their work? Or do you take the Woody Allen approach and then it's just totally idiotic? And do you think Woody gets screwed because he told them he doesn't care about it?
Well,
I mean, Woody doesn't even get nominated anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did win one for Annie Hall.
He won? Did he show up?
No.
No, he stayed home and played his clarinet.
He was playing clarinet at wherever the hell, Elaine's or whatever. Yeah, it was Sun Yi's clarinet.
All right, now. That's her real name.
I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Mary Pickford.
So what do you think about this whole awarding art?
And if you won one, would you show up?
Yes, I would.
In a tux.
Oh, sure. You can rent those anywhere, you know. you know, it generates interest and it generates money. It generates money for plays and movies. And I know after an award has been given to either a play or a movie, box office jumps up. And that's a good thing. I don't know anybody who really went into the business just to win awards. You don't do that because only a handful of people do every year. So I hope the artists involved don't take it too seriously. I know, you know, but it's nice to win. It'd be nice to win. I was nominated for an Emmy Award.
For what?
I did a production of Christmas Carol on television on the Fox Network. And I've got...
Who are you? Jacob again?
Jacob Marley, yeah. I made a career playing Jacob Marley. I've got the nomination on my kitchen wall. But, is that funky music?
How do they go about notifying you that you... That, do they call you? They call your agent?
I got a call, and they sent me... The people framed the nomination. I didn't win. But everybody else...
Who won?
Everybody else... I don't know who won, but everybody else involved in the show, the director won, the original music won, and the show won an Emmy. But the guy that played Scrooge and myself were nominated, and we didn't win.
Who played Scrooge?
A guy named David Edwards here in town. A very fine actor and producer in town. We did it for the...
Was that one of the televised awards?
No, it wasn't televised. Oh. It was a regional Emmy. It wasn't the big Emmy. It was a regional Emmy. But we didn't win. And it was fun, and... It's like all glory is fleeting, no matter how big or small it is.
But it's on your resume now.
I've got it on my resume, sure. And that and a dime won't even get me a cup of coffee.
Did you bring a copy of your resume with you tonight?
I sure did. I did not. I should have, darn it.
Darn, I wanted to peruse it.
Well, you know, it might have taken you all day because it's so darn long.
So tell me, Greg, I got to ask you the hard question now, the really hard question. Since you're a local actor, you've probably kissed a lot of actresses in town on stage and mm-hmm. such. Who has the hottest pair of lips in Cincinnati?
I'm glad you asked that. See, I'm the kind.